Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the very first episode of Talking Schist with Sav. I am your host, Sav. She is me. And I am so excited to finally start this podcast. This is something I've wanted to do for a really long time, and something I've been planning for quite some time. So I'm really excited that it's finally happening. And I'm so grateful that you decided to tune in today, whether you're an earth scientist yourself, or you just have a general curiosity about earth science, or if you are one of my friends that have no idea what I'm talking about, but I forced you to listen to this, I really appreciate you. This podcast is, it's something that kind of, the idea started because I started realizing that a lot of people don't really know much about earth science. And I teach college classes. Most of my students are not earth scientists, and so I tend to teach things in a way that is understandable for everybody, because earth science is all around us, whether you think that it is or not. It truly, truly is. Like, if you're by a window or if you're outside right now, just take a look around and notice what's around you and think about how many things could possibly be affected by geology and earth science and movement, because it really is everywhere. You know, like if you live near a body of water, have you ever thought about, you know, how that lake formed? Where, how does groundwater get into that lake? You know, how, if you have a well on your property, have you thought about how deep is your well? Where does your water come from? Where's the aquifer? How long has that water been there? How does it move? You know, if you drive through the mountains, or if you live in the mountains, take a look at those mountains. Have you ever thought about how old they are? Because they're probably millions of years old. Or if they're slanted, have you ever thought about how they got that way? You know, at one point they were upright, but something happened that they're now slanted. These things really are all around us, and most people don't notice that because they don't study geology. Me, I my brain works in geology. I notice these things all the time, and many of my friends could probably attest to that. I'm always like, oh, look at that, geology. And so the idea for this podcast started because I want to help people understand the things that are happening around them. Now, geology is, it's a really broad topic. The official Oxford Dictionary definition of geology is the science that deals with the Earth's physical structure and substance, its history, and the processes that act on it. But that's really broad because there's so many different pathways in geoscience. My degrees are in ocean and earth science, geology, and environmental geoscience. And so that's a lot of different topics. I took a lot of different courses that focused on many, many different things. And geology is not cut and dry. There's, you know, geophysics that focus more on natural hazards and tectonics. There's meteorology that talks about weather patterns. I professionally am a hydrogeologist, so I think a lot about groundwater. And so there's so many different things that fall into this topic of geology or earth science or geoscience, however you refer to it. And so I want to talk about different topics, and I want to make them relevant to our lives. There's so much that happens around us, and like earthquakes and volcanoes and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And I want to make it relevant to our lives. I want to talk about things that are currently going on. And I want to make it in a way that's understandable for anyone. Whether you know a lot about geology or not, you can still learn something. And my hope is that it makes you a little bit more curious and a little bit more mindful about what's going on around us. And maybe you'll even notice some things that you may not have noticed before. And so I'm super excited to talk about some topics with you guys, and hopefully you learn a thing or two. I was trying to figure out, what do I want to talk about for my first episode? And And my wife, she gave me the idea for this this topic. So thank you to her for that. I live in Western Washington right now, and we don't get a lot of thunderstorms here. We do get rain, but we don't get a lot of thunderstorms per se. And that has to do with like the shadow zone of the Cascades near us, but that's a different topic. And the past couple weeks, we got a thunderstorm, and my little East Coast heart was so happy. I grew up in Virginia, and so I am no stranger to hurricanes and thunderstorms, tropical storms, the whole nine yards. And so when we got a thunderstorm, I was so excited. I looked out our balcony window for probably like an hour, just watching the lightning and listening to the thunder and watching the rain come down. And it was so, so nice. It's so calming for me. And she asked me, she said, "Hey, honey, what causes lightning?" And so we were talking about it, and I was like, you know, that's a really good first topic, because I'm pretty sure everybody's experienced a thunderstorm once in their lives. You know, I would find it hard to believe that nobody has ever seen a thunderstorm. And so I was like, this is a really cool topic to talk about. Let's talk about lightning and thunder and what the heck's going on up there in the sky. And so that's what this first podcast episode is going to be about. It's going to be all about thunderstorms. So let's jump right into it and let's talk about what we need to start a thunderstorm, because they don't just appear, you know? So there's three main things that you need for a thunderstorm. You need moisture, unstable air, and you need lift. Now, moisture exists in air all the time, right? There's water vapor and moisture in all the air we breathe. And so when we talk about unstable air, I am not talking about air that needs to go to therapy, but rather air that is warm near the surface and cool above it. Kind of like oil and water, right? Like oil and water don't mix. And if you pour oil and water into a cup, one is going to sit on top of the other. And it's kind of the same thing in this situation. There's warm air that's close to the ground because the surface of the earth is pretty warm. And then there's cool air that lies above it. And so when we have a situation like that, we call that unstable air. And then we need something called lift. Now, there's certain properties of both cool and warm air. Warm air is typically moist and it rises and it expands. Cool air is typically pretty dry. It falls and it contracts. That is just the way it is. That's always how air acts. So warm air is already going to try to lift. If you maybe heard the saying like, oh, the top floor of the apartment's always like hotter than the bottom floor, or even like in a two-story house, upstairs is always hotter than downstairs. That's because warm air rises. So if we've got moisture, we've got warm air that's unstable because it's, you know, it's capped by cool air, and we have lift, these are perfect conditions for a thunderstorm to form. So we've got warm air that rises up into this cold air, and it kind of creates like a column of warm air. Like the cool air is still there, but there's this one vertical column where this warm air is like, hey, excuse me, get out of my way. And it's creating a displacement. So you'll have like cool air, and then on the, say you like have cool air on the left, warm air in the middle, and cool air on the right. So this warm air is surrounded by cool air, but this warm air is going to be there. It wants to be there. And so as things rise, warm air rises, it's going to eventually cool because you're moving further and further up into the atmosphere, and the atmosphere is pretty cold. And so warm air is going to start rising. Eventually, it's going to start cooling and it's going to start coming back down. So you've got an updraft of warm air. That warm air is cooling toward the top, kind of rotating and then falling back down in what we call a downdraft. So you have this circular motion of warm air going up, cool air going down. As this warm air begins to rise and cool, it starts to condense because it's getting cold. So that water vapor in the air condenses into water droplets, which is how we get rain. And this is just part of the hydrologic cycle. This is just the water cycle, evaporation, condensation, precipitation. But it's happening inside of a system. And so water droplets start forming and they start filling up this cloud with a lot of water. And this is why we see clouds that are dark. That typically indicates like, oh, a storm's coming, right? You can see the sky getting dark. And that's because typically clouds, you know, you see clouds that are white and fluffy, you know, maybe a little wispy. There's lots of different types of clouds. But they appear white because there's not a bunch of water in there. There's always water in clouds, but there's not a bunch. And so light can penetrate through that, through those droplets. There's enough space between the droplets for light to go through. And so the light just goes through and we see a little bit of white because of reflection, but not too much. However, in a storm system, there's a lot of water droplets because there's a lot of warm air rising and condensing. So there's a lot of water droplets. There's not really a lot of space between them. So light can't penetrate through. And so that's why it appears darker, because the light's not there to make it light. And so we start to see these really dark clouds. Now, when a thunderstorm system runs out of warm air, when there's no longer that updraft of warm air, the storm is going to die because there's nothing feeding it. That warm, moist, unstable air is one of the main ingredients for a thunderstorm. So when that warm air goes away, that thunderstorm will die off. And this happens all the time. There's little thunderstorms everywhere, but they tend to be more, you know, we tend to think more about them when they're occurring right over us and when there's lots of thunder and lightning. And so that's a general explanation of how thunderstorms form and how rainstorms happen. There's more processes included than that, but that's a general overview. And so you're probably thinking like, okay, cool, rain. Like, talk about the thunder and lightning. How the heck does that happen, right? Well, in these systems, when you have warm air rising, cool air falling, there's particles throughout this storm cloud. And everything in the world has an electric charge. We have electric charges, cars, the ground, like you've probably had socks on, you've like run across the carpet and then you can shock somebody. It's because you get this positive charge, you get staticky, you know? And so everything has a charge, and these particles up there in the clouds, they also have a charge. And so as warm air rises and it condenses, sometimes it can be cool enough to condense into little ice crystals, and ice crystals up there have a positive charge, and sometimes they will bump into each other and they'll form like larger crystals, and those have a negative charge. And so these ice crystals are pretty light in weight, so they float more toward the top of these storm clouds, while the heavier, bigger crystals have a negative charge and kind of hang out toward the bottom of the cloud. So you end up getting this system that has a bunch of positively charged particles on the top of the cloud and negatively charged crystals on the bottom of the cloud. And so particles always want to find a partner. It's like a dating pool up there. Negative particles want to find their positive, and the positive ones want to find their negative. And so you've got this system where you have a lot of negatively charged particles closer to the surface near the bottom of these storm clouds. And as they pass over Earth, there's things on Earth that have a positive charge. And so these negative particles, they are searching for a partner. They are looking around for somebody to connect with, some particle that's positively charged to connect with, because everything in science wants balance. Every particles want to be neutral. Everything wants to be in a state of equilibrium. That's just the thing about science. And so as a storm moves over, we're already getting the rain. We already see the dark clouds. But these particles, these negative particles, are looking for something positive to combine with. And sometimes it finds something. And so what happens when that occurs is this negative particle, its electric field is moving all around, and it's looking for this positive particle. And when it finds it, it creates a really fast spark of electricity. And so if you've ever looked at like a lightning bolt, sometimes there's like different branches, and that's because these are all like different particles, their electric fields, looking for a positive charge. And usually you'll see like one really bright, thick electric bolt, and it basically connects from the cloud to something on the earth. That right there is a negative particle finding its positive mate. And so when that happens, we get that really cool looking lightning strike. And now lightning strikes are really, really hot. And so when we talk about thunder, we have to think about lightning, because thunder happens because of lightning. We don't just get thunder. We don't just get rumbles. We have to have lightning, because thunder is a product of lightning. So like I said, lightning's really hot. It can get up to like 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which is really, really hot. If you think like when you make a pizza in the oven, you're cooking that at like 425. So we're talking like 10 times that heat. It's really, really hot. It's hotter than the sun. And so remember, I talked about those properties of warm and cool air. So when a lightning strike happens, there's a lot of heat and warm air expands. So heat expands out of from this lightning bolt really, really rapidly. And so the atmosphere is still pretty cool. And so that warm air expands out and it begins to cool pretty quickly. And like I said, cool air contracts. So you've got warm air that's expanding out really, really fast. And then it's starting to cool because the atmosphere is cool and it contracts really, really fast. And so when it contracts back to where it used to be, it creates a clap. And you can kind of think of it like a rubber band, right? Like you pull a rubber band and eventually you let go of that rubber band and it slaps back onto whatever surface you're holding it from, right? And it creates a noise and it bounces back. That's essentially the same sort of thing that's happening. This warm air is whooshing out really, really fast, cooling and contracting really, really fast. So it creates this crack, and that's usually like the initial crack of thunder that you hear. There's still some rumbles afterwards sometimes, and that's because the air column is still like vibrating because of how violent that expansion and then contraction is. That air column is still kind of vibrating a little bit, so you still get those like rumbles, right? And so these things happen simultaneously, right? Lightning happens, thunder happens right after, because this is a very fast process. That air is expanding really quick and contracting really quick. So it's a pretty fast process. But we always hear thunder after lightning. And why is that? Well, it's because light travels faster than sound. And so we're going to see the lightning, and then we're going to hear the thunder. But up in the clouds, they're happening at the same time. We're just hearing it and seeing it at different times. Sound takes about 5 seconds to travel a mile. So you may have heard when you were like a kid, they were like, oh, you see lightning, like count how many seconds, and that's how far the sound is, the lightning's away from you, or the storm. And that's actually pretty accurate. It's pretty true. It takes about 5 seconds for sound to travel a mile. So when you see lightning occur, you can begin counting your seconds and you can estimate how many miles it is from you. So if it's 5 seconds between the lightning and the thunder, that storm's probably about a mile from you. And so What kinds of things does lightning usually attract to? Where are these positive particles, right? Well, most typically, you probably hear about trees or electrical poles, sometimes even houses. And that's not necessarily because these things are more positively charged than everything else. But you got to think, that negative particle really wants to find a mate. And so it's going to hop onto the first positive particle it can find. And so trees and electric posts and really tall houses are usually the tallest things. They're the first thing that that particle can find. But lightning can also connect to the ground itself, smaller objects on the ground. They can even connect in between clouds. You can have a positive particle from one cloud connect with a negative particle in another cloud. That happens all the time. And so sometimes, you know, you'll hear thunder, but you may not see like a really big lightning strike. You may hear like when a storm's first kind of forming and moving closer to you, you may hear some grumbles of thunder. It's probably because there's a lot of lightning happening in the clouds themselves. They call that intra-cloud lightning. And so it can happen on the surface of the earth. It can happen in water. It can happen inside clouds. But trees and electric poles are usually pretty tall, so they're probably the first thing to get hit. So little tip for you, if you're ever, you know, outside or camping or hiking or whatever, and you get caught in a thunderstorm, don't hide near the trees. That might not work very well for you because those trees may be tall and they could get struck with lightning. And when a tree gets struck with lightning, I mean, there's a number of things that could happen. The tree could catch on fire, which obviously would not be very good for you. But even worse, that electricity can travel through the trees and it can even go down into the root system and it can electrically charge the ground. And root systems are pretty expansive. I mean, especially really old, large trees, they have really expansive root systems. And so if that root system gets electrically charged, it's going to charge the ground around it. So you could be 50 to 100 feet from a tree and still get shocked from a lightning bolt just because you're standing on the ground. So yeah, I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but don't hang around trees if it's lightning outside. And so lightning can strike a lot of different things. But it's always looking for that match, right? Those positive and negative particles are trying to find one another. And that thunder is happening because of this really violent explosion of heat almost, because that lightning is so, so hot. And so these things will occur simultaneously, but you may perceive them at different times, but they're still related to one another. And like I said before, once that heat, once that moisture and that lift is no longer happening because there's less air, then the storm's going to die out and it's, you know, it's going to move past you and eventually it will just stop raining. The clouds will lighten up. There'll be less condensation and then it's all over. But thunderstorms are pretty cool and powerful because other storms can form because of thunderstorms. Like if you think about tornadoes, a lot of tornadoes are accompanied by a thunderstorm. Hurricanes form from a thunderstorm. That's usually like the first part is some like little storm forms and then it creates a bigger one. So thunderstorms are super important and they're also really cool to look at. I mean, who doesn't love watching lightning and hearing thunder? It's so calming. So there you have a quick overview of a thunderstorm and what the heck is going on with lightning and thunder. I hope next time you experience a thunderstorm, you kind of recognize these things. Maybe you'll have like an aha moment, like, oh my God, Sav told me what's going on. Like it makes sense. I know I think about it and I love thinking about how the earth is doing things. It's so cool to me. And Yeah, thunderstorms are, they're pretty amazing. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a bunch of particles trying to find each other. Just one big dating pool up there. So I hope you enjoyed the very first episode of Talking Schist with Sav. And I hope you will tune in for some more episodes. I have lots of cool topics that I want to talk about. And I promise I will definitely try to touch on multiple different pathways of geology. Here's some meteorology for you today, some atmospheric science, but definitely we'll talk about rocks and minerals. I definitely will talk about some tectonics. There's a lot of earthquake activity going on right now. We are still in hurricane season. So, you know, Hurricane Debbie passed through Florida last month, but you know, we might have some more storms forming soon. I don't know if we'll have an active hurricane season this year, but we'll see. So I hope to bring you some really cool topics and talk about some things that are affecting all of us around the world. If you want to hear something specific, or if you just want to chat with me, feel free to reach out to me on Talking Schist Pod on Instagram. Send me a DM. Be sure to follow me so you can get up-to-date announcements for new episodes and kind of get a behind-the-scenes look of how I put all this together. Yeah, thank you so much. Feel free to like and follow this podcast channel on Apple Podcast and Spotify Podcast. Give me a good rating. Share with your friends. Share with your students. thank you so much, and I will catch you guys next time.